The Country Footy Show with Paul Daffy on PD Footy.
Welcome to the Country Footy Show on PD Footy, episode 13, 2017. My name is Paul Daffy. The Country Footy Show is brought to you by Bendigo Mortgage Brokers. Get the right loan the first time with Bendigo Mortgage Brokers. We do all the shopping around for you and our home loan service is free. Contact Glenn McMahon at Bendigo Mortgage Brokers in View Street, Bendigo. That's Glenn McMahon at Bendigo Mortgage Brokers in View Street, Bendigo. The Country Footy Show is also brought to you by Interchanger, the revolutionary app that has been built specifically for Australian football. For $100 per club, you can take all the guesswork out of managing your players' time on the ground. Contact Murray Bird via interchanger.com.au. That's Murray Bird via interchanger.com.au. My guest on the Country Footy Show today is Simon Gordon. Simon turned 40 years of age last Saturday, still kicking goals for his home club, Healesville. He's also played at Vermont, the Basin, although just one game, Yarra Glen, but always returned to Healesville, and he played in a flag with his hometown club last year at 39, which is a great effort. So I'm a very well-known footballer in the country and in the suburbs, and it was great to chat to him. Some announcements before I get on with the interview. Today I'm travelling up to Tongala to speak at the Tongala Footy Club tonight. July the 13th. I'll also be speaking at the Shepparton Footy Club on Saturday, July the 15th, before the match against Kyabram. Looking forward to that. That's 1v2 in the Goulburn Valley League. A big day there. Thanks to Will Phillips, the president, for inviting me up. And thanks to John Bentley from Tongala for inviting me to the Tongala Footy Club tonight. I'm looking forward to that. Other dates in the near future, I'm speaking at Oyen, July the 26th. That's a Wednesday. Donald, Thursday, July the 27th, and Bendigo, Friday, July the 28th. That's a PD Footy Lunch where I've got Jeff Southby as the main guest. I just want to thank Luke West, a journalist from my old paper, the Bendigo Advertiser. Well, I'm talking a long time ago now, the early 90s. Luke ran an excerpt from my book, Behind the Goals, The History of the VCFL, in the Bendigo Advertiser this week, and that's got a great response. People have been emailing me. If you want to email me about the book or anything else, my email address is pauldaffy27@gmail.com. So that's Paul Daffy, PaulDaffey, 27 at gmail.com. Also, details there about upcoming footy tours and lunches and other dates. My website is pdfooty.com.au. All right, some context before I speak to Simon. Just the ladder in the AFL Yarra Rangers, as a competition is called these days, Division 1. I'll just do this to let listeners know who might not be from the area, what teams are in the competition as much as anything, and the state of play in terms of wins or losses. So yeah, AFL Yarra Rangers, Division 1, ladder after round 11, Alinda, Fernie Creek and Wandon on 38. Healesville 36 points, Wooriyallock 32 points, Upway to Cameron 22. So a big gap between 4th and 5th in the top 5 there. Outside the 5, Mount Evelyn 18, Monbulk Emerald 16, Warburton Millgrove 4 and Jembrook Cockatoo 0. I see Michael Ferrito has been in hot form for Strathmore in the Essendon District League recently. I'm no doubt they've asked him, but they might want to get Spud back to Jembrook Cockatoo to give them a bit of a boost. They're on the bottom of the ladder, looking at going down to Division 2. There is two divisions, promotion and relegation, in the AFL Yarra Rangers comp. It's also worth mentioning the goal kickers. It's a very tight field. I'll read out the top five. We've got Simon Gordon sharing top spot with Ben Monkhurst, son of Damien. Ben plays for the Wooriyallock Footy Club. They're both on 43 goals. Daniel Waters from Upway to Cameron on 42. Scott Dwyer from Wandon on 39. So you've got four players within 4 goals of each other. Then Kane Jones from Mount Evelyn on 32. I'll be back speaking to Simon Gordon from the Healesville Footy Club after the break.
The Country Footy Show with Paul Daffy on PD Footy.
And welcome back to the Country Footy Show on PD Footy, with thanks to Glenn McMahon from Bendigo Mortgage Brokers and Murray Bird from interchanger.com.au, the revolutionary app in Australian football. My guest this morning is Simon Gordon from the Healesville Footy Club. Welcome, Simon.
Okay, Paul. Thanks, mate.
Now, Simon, you're all footballers I speak to on this show are footballers of note, but I reckon you're especially of note, given that you've kicked 1,000 goals in your local footy career, and you turned 40 last week, and you're still playing good, strong footy. You're equal leading goal kicker in the Yarra Valley competition. First of all, tell us how the 40th celebrations went, Simon.
Oh yeah, they went well. I just went up to my wife's parents' locks up at Yilton with four or five of my close friends, and yeah, we just spent the weekend up there and had a few beers and just relaxed. That was good.
Okay, so you're no big party for you. Just went with a few mates. Tell us who are the five close mates of Simon. Any footballs amongst them from over the years?
They're pretty much all blokes I've played footy with. Of a similar age, mine, yeah. So I grew up playing footy with them through juniors at Hillsville, and then played a fair bit of senior footy with them early days. And they've retired themselves now, but they the Hillsville's just started a veterans team. So three of them play for the veterans, and one of them actually the assistant coach at Hillsville. So still very much involved in the footy.
All right, the veterans team, you could play for that as well.
No, thanks.
You're still fit enough to be playing the real stuff. All right. Okay. Now you also you said your 40 was on Saturday. You celebrated with a strong win, albeit against Warburton Millgrove, who are ninth on the ladder. So you won by 77 points. Simon Gordon kicked 4, which brings you to 43. Tell us about playing as a 40-year-old. Well, your game on Saturday, and tell us about, you know, you've kicked over 40 goals as a 40-year-old.
I don't know what to say. Actually, at the end of last year, I decided I wasn't going to play anymore, and then I've got a lot of moles on my body, and I had a melanoma cut out of my back sort of late last year. I had 2 operations, and I thought to myself, you know, life's too short to, you know, to give up something that you love doing. So, you know, I was fit enough, and I just thought, yeah, you know, I'll have another crack at it this year. And I just pretty much just worked out what I had to do to be better than I was last year. And I sort of needed to play up the ground a bit more, so I needed to get fitter. So I took myself away from the footy club until about March, and, you know, got the fitness I needed. And, yeah, I come back, and, yeah, been playing pretty good footy. So it's all working out so far.
That's interesting. So, this is not an uncommon problem to have moles and therefore at risk of melanomas, but it obviously, lent you some sense of your mortality, I suppose. So you wanted to grab every minute. Is that about what happened? Did it surprise? Yep. Did it surprise you effect that this had on you?
Yeah, it did. It did. I'm a pretty I keep things to myself a fair bit, so I sort of I had to work it out and go from where I wanted to go. But yeah, it sort of did. It sort of hit home when I had the initial operation just in a clinic at Blackburn, and then it come back that there was cancerous cells in it, so I had to actually go to the cancer melanoma hospital, which is in the Alfred Hospital. And, you know, when you see all the, you know, you sort of was guarded from it in this initial clinic, and then when you get into this big clinic in the Alfred Hospital, it sort of hits home, you know, how sort of lucky I was, and when you see all the other people in there, you know, with the same sort of issues. So,
right,
yeah, it did.
How big a problem is this? Like, is this? But when you said you've got a lot of moles.
At the moment, now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just because I've had a positive cancer cells picked up in it. I just need to keep an eye on it more than I have been. So I was pretty diligent with it. And it just happened to be that where this one was, it was just in a spot where I couldn't, just it was sort of right above my ass crack, and it was sort of in that little spot where I couldn't see properly. So it sort of went unnoticed.
No one can.
A little bit. Yeah, so.
Okay. All right. Now,
yeah.
All right. So, what do you do now? Obviously, you monitor it with regular checkups, but you have to keep out of the sun or only play it full forward.
No, not so much. Only play full forward. Yeah. No, I just have to monitor it. I went to a clinic called Mole Map, and they take photos of you they do more thorough checks, so they can sort of see if things change a bit more than anything else. So.
All right. Well, you
it's all good. So.
Okay. You mentioned getting fit. What did you actually do? Because I know what's your wife's name? Sorry.
Lauren.
Lauren. Well, yeah. Lauren's a keen runner herself, it sounds. What did you actually do to get fit over summer at 39 years of age?
I just done something that I've never done before, you know. I used to just do the pre-season training and that sort of stuff, but I actually got on the road and got a fair bit of miles in my legs. I was doing about 40 to 45 k's a week, and just on the road. So sort of that's where I thought, because I've always been that short and sharp sort of player, and I thought that if I need to play up the ground, I'm going to need to be you know, more elongated leads and you know, be a little bit better, and the tank needs to be a little bit more fuller at three quarter time instead of, you know, being all done at half time.
Okay. All right. Look, in my other life, I can't get enough work as a journalist to work full time. I work as a tour guide, and I often take tours to the Yarra Valley, and we go through Healesville. Where do you jog around Healesville that you're not getting run over by tour buses and stuff?
I live up behind the golf course, so I sort of used to run the roads around the back of the golf course, and then, you know, up behind the main street. So there's like a 6K loop that sort of got me from home back to home pretty easy. So I just used to run that.
On concrete, or is there a track?
Yeah, it's footpaths,
Footpaths, all right.
Or bike paths, so.
All right, well, so what had you previously done? Sounded like you'd never particularly worked too hard on your fitness, or is that a bit wrong?
Oh, no, I did, but it was more your impact sort of, your short, sharp work, and, you know, you never really used to work over, you know, 50 metres at a time, just, you know, getting that quick,
okay, so
explosive pace.
Yeah, so very specific things in mind. So why did you have to go up the ground? I mean, you've been a full forward all your life. Why did you decide you had to play up the ground this year?
I thought that's what we needed to do as a team. Myself and other big forward Rocket, we're both pretty similar sizes and weights and everything, and I think it's probably a bit too much for one of us for four quarters to do all the bulk of the work. So we sort of were just working with each other now, and we picked up another forward, Paul Florence, so he's handy as well, which is good.
Okay, so you're playing what used to be a Nick Riewoldt role, I suppose. Many, many leads. Jack Riewoldt used to be a full forward and played up the ground. I think he should play at full forward, but that's another story. So how do you enjoy playing up the ground?
Oh, yeah, I enjoy it. Yeah, it's good. It's basically the same as full forward, except you're not, you know, when you take a mark, you're not all the time. It's 45 to, you know, 35, 45 metres out in front of goal. You've got to get another kick in before you have a shot. So it's basically the same, but, yeah, it's just a little bit more work.
Okay. Well, you mentioned your same height and weight and so forth as Rocket. What's Rocket's name? I should get his name.
Rod. I've gone blank.
No, I don't want to embarrass you. This will come to you. It'll come to you later on.
Yeah.
All right. So you've been in good form. Tell us about. I mean, I see you've kicked four goals in the weekend. That seems like not the first time. Tell us about your season so far. Any games in particular that have worked well for you?
Oh, to be honest with you, we've gone pretty much all right. You know, we had a funny start to the season where we played two games in 2 weeks, and then we had a 3-day break and played a Linda after the. After the Anzac Day weekend.
Yeah, grand final replay.
And then we had grand final replay, yeah. So we done that after three day break, and it took its toll on me, unfortunately. So I sort of...
Well, no wonder.
I basically kicked four or five goals every game apart from that one and the game after that. So it's sort of... Which is different for me as well, because I'm used to sort of... I don't know what it was, but I used to kick a chunk of goals and then, you know... go missing, but, you know, have sort of low goal, one or two goals, but I've basically just gone four goals for the whole year, so
all right.
I think that's what the difference is. So
you've achieved consistency. No, that's why I mentioned Rocket. How tall and heavy are you? Like, are you a massive bloke, or you're a...
6'4", and I weigh about 110 kilo.
All right, so you are a big guy. So that's if you were getting on your bike during the game, that's a that would take its toll. No wonder you struggle to come up after a 3-day break. That's not surprising.
Yeah.
All right. And what about Healesville's season? I mean, you've won the grand final last year, the first since 1988.
Yep.
And motoring along again. Well, you're third. You're not on top, but you're motoring along nicely. Tell us how you think your season's progressing.
I think our season's sort of where we want it to be at the minute, wins and loss way, but sort of the way we've been playing against the lower sides, we're not real happy with. Mm-hmm. We're sort of, we've been a little bit selfish within each other, I think. Mm-hmm. But when we come up against the higher sides, like the Wandons and Roy Alex and that, we seem to be clicking and getting the job done, so...
Oh,
yeah, it's where we want it to be, but we can improve on a few things.
And you've got a big game this Sunday. I don't like to project too far ahead, but you've got a big game this Sunday.
Yeah, we play grand final replay again. It's a WorkSafe Country match of the week, I think they call it. So, it should be a good game. We've beaten them the last two times at Yulesville in the grand final and in the home and away season last year. So,
okay.
They're a good side, Alinda, so it'll be a good game.
WorkSafe game of the month, mate. I used to work at them last year. It was quite good fun. They're good days. All right, so look, I just want to give a little historical perspective to your career. I mentioned 1,000 goals. I'll just read your record, and it's quite formidable. Healesville, there's quite a few stints. This is your home club. 1994, you made your debut as a 16-year-old. So you played Healesville 1994 to 96, then 2003 to 2005, 2007 to 2008. 2010 to 2012, then 2016 and 17. All up, 202 games so far, 529 goals, one premiership, which was last year. Well, I might ask you about that a bit later. 8 times leading goal kicker and club captain in 2005. Seymour, 1997 to 1999, then in 2006, 72 games, 260 goals, one premiership, 2006, one club goal kicking 3 times. Vermont, the mighty Eastern League club, 2000 to 2002, 50 games, 200 goals, one premiership, 2001, league goal kicking and league MVP award. That's a big deal in the Eastern League. Club goal kicking 2001, 2002. The Basin, 2009, one game, 4 goals. Yarra Glen, 2014, 14 games, 50 goals, one premiership. This is a big year. Best on ground in grand final with 11 goals. You're also coaching the Healesville Juniors. One of the teams down there at the moment. So, look, we'll finish up with Healesville, given that you played with the premiership with your home club last year at the age of 39. Tell us about the other clubs, like playing at Seymour, first of all. Why did you go to Seymour in 1997?
In my early days at Healesville, I played with a fellow called Colin Young and Earl Lowe, and Colin Young and Earl Lowe went up to Seymour to play footy earlier, I think like early 90s. Mm-hmm. And Colin just said to me, he goes, you know, if you want to better your footy, this league up here is a good league. And so he got in contact with the club and then they contacted me and I went up there. That was the main reason I went up there. So
to play the Goulburn Valley League. Did you find it much different to playing in the Yarra Valley Comp?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, especially sort of early, sort of mid-90s when the grounds weren't like they are now. Every week up in Seymour, you could travel to Echuca and Shep and the grounds were pristine all year round, whereas down in Hillsville, they were, you know, big bags of shit mostly.
That is a point worth making. I mean, I've got two sons playing junior footy as well, and they've never played in a muddy ground. Like, you know.
No.
The kids these days do not see mud, but I imagine playing in the Yarra Valley, Mountain District League, as it used to be called, it would have been tough on a full four because you would have been playing in fairly muddy conditions most weeks. Is that right?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, and it's still occasionally, the occasional ground, you still do get that. But, yeah, the majority of them these days are, you know, pretty good.
Okay. All right. Now, you went out of stint at Seymour, who weren't a successful club in the 90s, in your period, but you went back in 2006 and won a flag. I mean, they were a great club 10 years ago. They're back up around the top now again. Tell us about going back in 2006 and playing in that premiership. That's quite an achievement to play in that one.
Yeah, so when I was up in Seymour initially, I'd started a carpentry apprenticeship up there with a bloke called Paul Cox.
Oh, yes, Paul was the president at one stage, and the coach, actually.
Yeah, he himself, so he was a great footballer. So, and he was actually president in 2006, and he rang me at the end of 2005 and said, oh, you know, done the hard yards in the 90s, why don't you come up and, you know, see if you can reap the benefits of it now. So, yeah, I've been up there, and, yeah, the rest of history won the flag. And
That's not a bad pitch, actually. You've gone through the hard times, come back now that we're good. Those Seymour teams had some of the great Victorian country footballers. I'm thinking of Paul Scanlon, but there are others as well.
Yep.
Tell us about some of them. Who's also your age, still getting a kick at 40 down at Pines these days.
Down at the Pines, yeah.
tell us about some of those players you played with at Seymour.
Yeah, well, they were lucky that they picked up a coach, Steve Daniels, who was involved in the... the Northern Bull Ants, I think it was at that stage.
Yes,
and he brought a great deal of number of players, but what he brought up was just quality, and the club was just reaped the benefits of it. So guys that I played with in the 90s were still getting the game, and like Shane Shotner, who I think is probably the best country footballer I've ever played with.
Is that right?
Yeah, blokes like that. Obviously played with Saad, so that was very interesting. Watching him go about his job.
Well, actually, you mentioned this is quite topical because Saad just retired bizarrely.
Just retired, yeah.
Two weeks ago, halfway through the season, asked for clearance to Pines to play with Paul Scanlon, but didn't get it, and then just retired. But you know, he's kicked almost 1,000 goals in the Goulburn Valley League. He's about, what? He wouldn't be 180 centimetres tall, but he's a freak. I mean, how did you go playing alongside him? Was he trying to jump on your head all the time, or what did you work out?
I was playing up the ground a bit in that 2006, so I was out of his way a little bit. But, yeah, it was an experience, really was, to watch the way he went about it and some of the things that he got himself into and got himself out of, you know, just unbelievable.
I basically
put the ball anywhere and he'd get it.
Yeah. I mean, I interviewed Saad once and I found Bernie Haveman a great influence on him, and he's doing well coaching Golden Square these days, Bernie. All right.
He's actually got life membership at Seymour two weeks ago, I think he did.
Did he really? Okay. Now, Paul Cox in an apprenticeship. Does that mean you actually moved to Seymour to do a carpentry apprenticeship with Paul?
In that initial first 3 years, I moved up there.
Okay. Did you get your ticket and you're still a carpenter, or what happened?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a foreman for a building company now, but I got my ticket. I worked with Paul for 2 years, and then when I came down to Vermont, his brother lived in Melbourne, who was a builder, and I finished my apprenticeship with Damien, so...
Okay. So footy served you well in that respect, didn't it? Set you up with a...
Yeah, it has.
Set you up with a career. What are you doing now, Simon? I asked this at some stage. It might as well be now. Job.
I'm a foreman for CPB, a building company. I'm working on one of the level crossing removals at the moment in Blackburn. So.
Oh right. Okay. Yeah. Plenty of work there then.
Yeah.
All right. Now you mentioned Vermont. 2002. How did you go to Vermont? You're playing to play suburban footy with arguably the strongest suburban club in Australia.
Well, it was actually, I knew that because I obviously ran out of work with Paul and I got a job with Damien. I was still going to travel up to Seymour, but a fellow who my dad used to work with was involved in the footy club, and he said, I'm going to just come down and have a run because I was just living around the corner from the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And, so I went down there and, it was good, Vermont's very, very different to Seymour, country footy to metropolitan footy, but.
Yep.
It was a really good experience.
Who was the connection? Who was your father's friend?
Oh, I can't remember his name. He's just someone who used to work with him.
Okay, fair enough. Now,
tell
us about the difference. You mean one city, one suburban. What does that mean? Like, is training different? Is the supporters different? Are the games different? What was it like?
Footy supporters and all that sort of stuff are pretty similar wherever you go, but just sort of you're playing a more congested game of footy, you know, the smaller ground in suburbia or up in the bush, you you know, basically every ground you're playing on was pretty close to the size of the MCG, so you've got that space and you had the, you know, your free running wingers and all that sort of stuff who could, you know, had the time and space to hit you up, whereas down in the, you know, the early 2000s down at Vermont, we had a lot of really tough in and under players, you know, and really skillful blokes who could, you know, hit the targets in close and yep. Yeah, so it was a fair bit sort of quicker too, I reckon.
Was it?
Quicker ball movement.
They are big blokes in the Eastern League. I mean, I've been to I went to one of your grand finals there in that era.
Yep.
Big guys, it is tough because the grounds are tight. It is like, it is really strong footy, isn't it? Did you take a few games to adapt to these different competitions, or you're a pretty adaptable sort of bloke? And...
No, I did. Like the first year I was at Vermont, I took probably half a season to get used to it. I played, don't hold me to this, probably the first five games, and then played two or three games in the twos, and then sort of worked my way back into the ones.
Is that right?
Okay. So yeah, it did take a fair bit to get used to it.
So you were when you got dropped? I imagine you'd never been dropped in your life. Did you sulk?
No, I had a few times.
I had. Okay, righto.
Yeah, no, I'm not scared to play twos if I have to. Yeah, no, not really. It's sort of, I was still only a young bloke, so I was, you know, still sort of learning the trade a bit. But yeah. I didn't go there with high expectations from everybody, so I wasn't really.
Okay, so you weren't the big
footballer, basically.
You weren't the big boom recruit dragged down from the country on big dollars.
Not at all. No, nothing like that.
You were one of many good players. I mean, those Vermont teams were extraordinary. So tell us some of the players you played with in that era at Vermont.
I played with Toddy Power, who was our captain through those 3 years I was there. Just a wiry centre-half back and, yeah, just a gun.
He was tough, wasn't he? Five, I remember him.
Yeah, very much so. Todd. Brad and Mark Cullen, the Cullen brothers.
The midfielders.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, they were very quality footballers, those two. Uh-huh. And played with a bloke called Ben Holmes, who came from, it was in my second year there, we won the flag, come from Box Hill. He kicked seven in the grand final, got best on ground from the wing. So he was,
That's a good game, righto.
Yeah. So just all good sort of local area footballers, you know, metro footballers. So
righto. What about the Basin 2009, one game, four goals? What happened there?
Yeah, that was actually a Vermont thing as well. The their coach was Lee Rowe, who I played with it in the premiership with at Vermont.
Yep.
And he wanted me to come down. It just happened to be in the time when I was starting a new job, and I said I can come down and play, but I can't, you know, I'm not going to promise you anything. It just happened to be that work wouldn't allow me to play, so I played the second game of the season, and yeah, that was it.
Well, that's all the footy you played that year?
Yeah, yep.
All right. And then you just couldn't give it away, though? You decided to come back?
Yeah, basically. I think I had that year, well, the rest of that year off, and then the next year, and then, yeah, came back after that. And,
all right.
Retired and then come back and retired and come back.
Oh, hard to give it away. All right. Yarra Glen, 2004. Yarra Glen, 2014, 14 games, 50 goals, one premiership, best on ground and grand final with 11 goals. Now, Yarra Glen playing the second division of the Yarra Valley Comp.
Yep.
Tell us about going to Yarra Glen.
One of my friends, Dean DeMunk from Hillsville, who coaches our veteran side at the moment and also coached Hillsville early 2000s, he was coaching over there and just basically hounded me and said he's got to come and play. You know, we need a forward. So I basically said, yeah, all right, no worries. And there's also another guy, Ricky Hay, who I grew up with, was playing over there as well. So, yeah, went over there and played. Sort of basically I started the game before half time of the season and, yeah, just played through to the grand final and, yeah, have a win there. So
it's a great effect. All right, but you've always returned, there's been about five different stints. You've always returned to your home club, Hillsville. Why is that?
It's just a good place to be. Mm-hmm. It just is. My family's always been involved in the Hillsville Footy Club. My dad played in the 77 grand final.
Oh, yeah, right.
Won that. Dad coached me through under 18s, under 16s. Coached me in 97, I think he coached me. Mm-hmm. down at Hillsville. Oh, sorry, 96. In the seniors, and yeah, my sister's was the president, and she's now the vice president of the footy club, netball club. So,
okay,
yeah, there's always just been those ties to come back.
Right, so very strong family ties. What's your father and sister's names?
Dad's name's Bill, and my sister's name's Kim.
Kim, okay, I got an email from Kim. She's she's obviously a very good sports person herself to be president of Hillsville Footy Club. And hasn't always, I mean, you won the flag last year, it hasn't always been strong. That was your first since 1988. So tell us about all those years. Were they with any success, any finals before last year?
Yeah, played when Vinnie coached us in 94 when I started, we just missed out on, or just saved relegation. We didn't get relegated, and then the next year we were coached by Ian Jeffries, and I think we finished on top of the ladder and got done in straight sets in the finals. So I played two finals in that year, and then when I come back in 2003, we made the finals through that sort of that whole era there in the 2000s, but didn't really, you know, we were there, but we didn't really push the envelope that much to be that little bit better. So played a fair few finals with Hillsville, but yeah, none like last year.
Okay, well, tell us about playing your first premiership with your home club last year.
It was very surreal, to be honest with you, because we went through the finals, and we beat Wandon twice, who we haven't beaten, you know, in two or three years, and got beaten by them in the grand final the year before.
Okay.
We played Alinda up in Alexandra and got our pants pulled down a little bit. So we were carrying a bit of baggage going into the grand final, but we knew that, you know, if we played the footy that we wanted to play, the hard contested footy, and, you know, won the inside ball, and that we'd have a good shot of beating them. And we basically just got scoreboard pressure early and just maintain that pressure and come away with the bickies.
All right, because you lost the second semi, as you said.
Look,
I got in contact with you after Drew Young, who's obviously a great clubman at Hillsville. Let me know about Peter McFarlane and yourself. And look, I'd remember seeing you at Vermont in the early 2000s, so it didn't take much prompting to follow up. But tell us about playing with Peter McFarlane. He sounds like an extraordinary sort of bloke. Success has trailed him wherever he's gone.
Yeah, it has. I don't know whether he chooses that, or it's just, like you say, it's just something that follows him. But yeah, he's got his record, I don't know the actual facts, but they wouldn't be second to many people, I wouldn't think. Mm-hmm. He's a great person, to be honest with you. I haven't played with like a fly-in, fly-out footballer before, and my expectations of what they'd be like are totally opposite to the way Peter was. I would have thought they'd be, you know, someone who's a bit reserved and, you know, just sort of stays back, comes, plays footy, but he just, as soon as he came, he just commanded that respect off everybody, and you know, within two games of him playing with us, he was talking to the players at three-quarter time before we'd go out and start playing again. And yeah, he's just really, really, and a good bloke just in general as well. So
okay, fair enough. Tell us who it meant most to play in a premiership with among your teammates last year. You're probably too old for all your teammates your age had retired, I imagine. But was there anyone that was a special experience to play with?
Well, probably Luke Barclay, who gives me a hand coaching our under 11s back at Hillsville. He's actually my brother-in-law's brother. So it was good to play with him. But probably the one that meant the most was probably Casey Adams.
Okay.
Why Casey? I played footy with Casey's dad in the early 90s, and that played with Mark and Casey in both their 200th games.
Oh yeah, right.
And Mark was actually the man that got me back to. He was the captain. He was the president at the time, and I come back in 2003. So he's the one that got me back to Hillsville. He's a good family friend. Passed away.
Yes.
So yeah, probably Casey would probably be the one.
All right.
That meant the most.
Now, you mentioned coaching the under-11s. Have you got sons or daughters playing footy? Tell us your kids' names.
I've got Blake, who's about to turn 14, Dane, who's 10, and McKenna, who's just turned 7. Okay. So, yeah, Coach Dane in the under-11s.
How are they going?
Yeah, they're going well. Yeah, they're improving, which is the main thing at that age. So, it's good.
If they're improving, if they're improving and they enjoy it, that's about all you can ask in junior footy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Now, obviously, the Healesville footy, great family involvement. It just keeps going through the generations with the Gordons, it seems. The club is obviously close to your heart. So, well done on a brilliant career, but also it's a nice way to cap it off by playing in a flag with Healesville at the age of 39. So well done, Simon. Simon Gordon, for coming on the Country Footy Show on PD Footy. Just before I go, I'd just like to encourage anyone who's listening to this to subscribe to PD Footy on iTunes. That way it just lobs into your inbox without you having to do anything every week. It helps me just in terms of numbers and just making sure that people do get it every week. But thanks once again, Simon Gordon, for coming on PD Footy.
No worries, thank you.